Welcome to the Entrepreneurs Visiting Victor podcast with Victor Dadage, where you'll hear stories and strategies to help increase your sales and grow your business. Here's your host, Victor Dadage.
All right, welcome to Entrepreneurs Visiting Victor. I'm your host, Victor Dadage. I hope you are having an amazing day so far. Today we have an awesome guest. He is the visionary founder of Mosaic Media Films, a leading force in the world of video production and marketing. And with a passion for crafting creative business videos that don't just captivate but convert, he has carved a niche for himself in the video marketing industry. As a driving force behind Mosaic Media Films, he brings more than expertise in video production. He brings a strategic marketing mindset. What sets his company apart is the unwavering focus on the marketing side of video content. He collaborates closely with clients, delving into the sales and marketing strategy of their businesses and funnels. This deep understanding allows them to create videos strategically tailored to drive traffic and boost sales. So let's welcome Mark Wonderland. How are you doing today, Mark?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks so much for having me on, Victor.
Oh, it's great to have you on. I'd like to get started. I'm going to ask you to please share your story. How did you wind up becoming an entrepreneur?
So I actually became an entrepreneur, gosh, it must have been like 15 years ago or so. I used to work in the corporate world, and I did everything that you can imagine for marketing. So like I did print advertising, I did SEO, pay-per-click, website design, photography, video, packaging. And out of those skill sets, I really loved video. And really saw the trend. And my marketing manager at the time really kind of encouraged me to get into video. And this was right around the time that DSLR video was kind of coming onto the scene. And that's really how I got started and got into entrepreneurship, specifically for video, of course.
Got it. So about 15 years ago, you're in the corporate world. You loved, you realized the thing you loved doing the most was the video stuff. And your marketing manager says, you know what, you're good at it, you should go for it. So ever since then, it's been all video. So tell us a little bit about the early days when you went on your own. How was it?
Well, when I went on my own, when I first started, I was really, you know, just doing side hustle work, you know, so I had a corporate job. I was doing some freelance jobs, just trying to learn video and work with some local businesses in the area. And then when I moved to Austin, I really started to become, you know, a solopreneur. And essentially it's just me, one man band. And like how a lot of companies start that are bootstrapping, you're kind of wearing all the hats. So I was, you know, doing the sales, doing the marketing, doing the filming, doing the editing, doing the client management, and everything in between. And I really kind of started in Austin and carving a name out for myself in the local kind of network, just really collaborating with other marketing companies with strategic partnerships and, you know, kind of connecting with local businesses that needed video to help in their marketing efforts.
Got it. All right. So you started doing by side some hot side hustle work while you were still working a corporate job. Then you moved to Austin. You say became a one man band, and which is what a lot of people didn't do in the beginning. And then you collaborated with other companies as well, and you did some work. Now, how was it being a one man band? Because you know we all have to do that in the beginning. And how long did you do it for before you started scaling and getting other people to work with you? You know, like employees or affiliates and stuff like that. How long did it take before you started scaling up?
Yeah, absolutely. So I had a little bit different trajectory than if I had to do it all over again, I probably wouldn't have done it the way that I did. But I basically started to do that for about 3 years as a solopreneur. And it was amazing. I really enjoyed a lot of those aspects of it. But what I did was I almost took like a sidestep with my kind of career path. And I collaborated with a really dear friend of mine who was at the time my mentor, who taught me how to do this type of filming that I kind of created. And we created a digital marketing company called Handcrafted Business Films. And we essentially taught aspiring filmmakers on how to create the video that I was creating and then taught them kind of more sales and marketing stuff that I had a foundation in the corporate world doing. And we did that for about 3 years collectively together. And he got to the point in his career where he wanted to focus more on one-to-one coaching. So then, you know, when he kind of left and pursued that, then I went back to my roots into filming. And then 2 years into that is when I really started to scale and grow the company and have a staff and a team, where today I don't really do any of the creative work. As far as tactically, I really focus on, you know, the vision, the sales, the marketing, and my staff does a lot of the, you know, actual creation of the content for our clients.
Got it. All right. So you worked for 3 years with the person who was your mentor at the time. You guys collaborated. Mm-hmm. You partnered with a company called Handcrafted Business Films, and you taught people how to make videos. You taught them the sales and the marketing. And then after about 3 years, he decided to go off on his own, do coaching and stuff like that. And then you continue doing work for 2 years. And then that's when you started branching out and scaling up. And that's something very important. I want to get to that in a minute, because but first I want to ask you about the relationship with your mentor, because one thing that every successful person I've ever interviewed says, the importance of having that mentor. How important was it to your success, you know, guiding you along the way? Because trying to do it on your own is really, really hard, because you're going to make a lot of mistakes. And usually mentors, they kind of help you avoid making some of those mistakes. So talk about how much a mentor, how important that was for you.
Well, this particular person, his name's Michael Gebben. He has been absolutely monumental in my life, not only personally, but also professionally. And he's been there with every major milestone and pivot that I've made. So when I first started to be that solopreneur and I moved to Austin, I had no friends, no connections, no idea how to start an actual business. I know fundamentally that I really wanted to create a different style of video that was out in the market. And at the time for businesses, a lot of stuff that they'd have was very broadcast quality stuff. And I saw the things that he was doing in the wedding world, and I wanted to translate that into the business environment, very stylized, story-driven content. And he, essentially, I trained with him for 2 days straight. And those 2 days were probably the most important days that I've ever spent in the beginning part of my career. And I learned so much in that one weekend spending with him. I left with a lot more than just knowledge. I left with a great friend who now we've been connected 15 years and we still talk to each other to this day. So for me, that was definitely the best business decision ever, having a mentor. And then through my career, I've had mentors, coaches, accountability groups, all of which are incredibly valuable because, you know, when you're a solopreneur or entrepreneur, whatever the case would be, you know, when you're at the top, it can be a little lonely. And it also is good to get guidance from people that have been there and done that and kind of support you through your journey, both like on a technical side, but also on a mindset side, so you can take your business to the next level.
I totally agree with you on that. When you're by yourself, you're a solopreneur, it's good to have other people, you know, run you know, things by them, you know, learn things from them. They can show you a lot of things. And then I agree, a mentor has been, it's so helpful. It's been helpful for me and for you. And, you know, based on your experience, this guy, Michael Gebben, he was there every, you know, pretty day, you said pretty much every milestone with you. He helped you when you were in Austin. And you had this thing where you trained with for 2 days over the weekend. You said that just really just changed your entire beginning of the career. And you've been with him. You've continued this relationship with him for the past 15 years. And so he's not just a mentor, he's also become a friend to you. And you mentioned other things like accountability groups, and you have other mentors. And there's nothing wrong with having 2, 3, 4 mentors, because you can learn something different from each one. So I think that's definitely good. And accountability is being held accountable, because especially when you're working by yourself, it is so easy to be distracted. And you think you're working hard or you're working smart, but you're not. And then they can tell you, are you doing this? Did you do the things you're going to do? And they hold you accountable. Because when you're at a job, your boss holds you accountable. Yep. But when you work for yourself, you really don't have anyone to hold you accountable. So that's why like a mentor or accountability partner is very important. So that's really great. Now talk about the fact that nowadays, you know, because you've scaled up and you don't do a lot of the regular work, a lot of the content is created by your team. You focus, which is what a lot of leaders do. You focus on vision, the sales, the marketing. You focus on the things that you're good at. I mean, the other things you're also good at, but the things that you can give the most value to, and then you delegate it to the people who, by the way, are like to do those things anyway. So it's not like you're cheating them out. There are things they're like, and it could be a stepping stone for the career later. But if you try to do everything at once, it could be so overwhelming, and it could just totally – it can just destroy your business. You'll never scale, or you may even get frustrated. Give us. So talk about the fact that difference of just delegated to a group of people, how just it's been a win-win situation for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, it's really having the right people and delegating responsibilities for having the right person in the right seat. That's really what it's been for me. And I've been really fortunate to kind of have people on my staff that are very good at their particular role. And that's what's really helped me kind of take a back seat on the creative and focus on the vision of the company, where we're going to go, and making more strategic moves on the sales and marketing side. And you said something really interesting there about like what is the best use of your time, And I got to the point where, I felt that like I incrementally backed myself out of the day-to-day, and I've kept thinking to myself that like, what is the thing that I can do? What's the highest value activity that I can do that'll help move the needle for the business? And for my situation, it's, is it more effective for me to pick up a phone call and talk to a new prospect that wants to do another project, and that's an hour conversation in relation to being on a shoot for 12 hours, Because if I'm on a shoot, my hands are handcuffed, And I got to the point where I realized that, and I just got people in place that allowed me to have those 1 hour conversations to move the needle forward with the business.
No, absolutely. And I totally agree with you on that. Like you said, your better time is to be on a phone call with a client for 1 hour instead of being on a 12-hour shoot. One of my friends, his business changed. He was at this event for hosted by Frank Kern, who's this big marketing guy. And he was only there for, it was like a 4-day event. He was only there for 4 hours, but he had a 15-minute conversation with him. And Frank asked him, "So are you duplicating yourself?" He says, "What do you mean by that?" He says, "Are you teaching people to do what you do so you can focus on the things you're really great at and then you can really expand your business?" He says, "No, I haven't." He says, "Well, that's what you should do. Teach them what you know, and then the things you're really good at, the things that could really, you can give most value to, do that and things will change." So he went home, he hired a bunch of his friends. "You guys are gonna move in with me, you're gonna teach everything I know," and then his business expanded. Ever since then, he's done 100,000 every single month minimum. His business, I think, went up sixfold after he did that. So that's the power of finding the right people, teaching them the things you know, and then you can focus on the things that can really drive your business forward. So definitely some really good stuff. So let's talk about some of the things you do, like videos. Now videos are so big because there's in all the social media, people love it. There are some people who have lots of success with it, and some people who don't have success with it. So what are the people that are having success with the business, what are they doing right? And the people who are not having success, what are they doing wrong that they may want to make adjustments to?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, a lot of it depends on the type of audience you have and the type of product or service that you sell. So like for instance, we work a lot with B2B companies that have higher ticket items. So like they're more about branding, telling the story about the customer's journey and how they can change that. And typically the buyer that's going to be interested in higher ticketed items, they do a little bit more research and there's a longer duration for speed of trust. And the videos that we create help increase that speed of trust and ultimately increase conversion. So in order to do it correct, in the type of clientele that we work with, it's really about connecting with the audience, like who that ideal customer is, and telling that story with what their life is going to look like when they invest in the product or service that ultimately our client is trying to offer to them. In the B2C environment, it's a little bit different of a dynamic depending on the type of business. So if it's a professional service, you can use a very similar approach that I just mentioned, or if it's more of a, consumer product good where it's a $10 coffee mug, totally different strategy. Where that instance, it's less about the brand, the story. It's more about, authenticity. So the selfie videos or the influencers, that type of video content is going to be more effective for that type of product that you're selling.
Oh no, thanks for explaining that and for the difference between the B2C and B2B. And obviously it's B2B is going to be a more long-term approach because it's higher ticket. The people can do more research, and yeah, people are not going to give you $10,000, $20,000 just for watching one video. Whereas if it's in our product, for B2C, they might be like, "Oh, click on the link and buy it." So it takes a long time, but you're saying And you mentioned the speed of trust, which is very important. You definitely have to work on building that trust and increasing the speed of trust. Now, next thing I want to ask you is because a lot of businesses are wondering, should I use what's called a DIY approach, or should I use a production company? Why would you recommend using a production company over doing a DIY approach? And also explain to the audience what DIY is.
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. So a DIY is really just doing it yourself, right? So it's like, hey, I got a camera, let me just grab my phone and we can create a video right now. We can post it on social. If that's your brand, or if that fits ideally for the product that you're selling or the service that you're selling, then I say go for it. It's a great thing to do. However, clients that typically work with us and hire a full production company are clients that recognize like we have an important brand, we're selling something of higher value, so we want to extend what we do in this story or a series of video types of videos that are going to help that customer on their customer's journey, whether it be testimonial content, educational videos, or promo videos about their core offer. And that's where like hiring a company like us is a really good fit. It just depends on the type of business and the type of product and service you have and the type of brand and overall brand presence that you want.
I don't know. Thanks for explaining that. Especially if you worry about your brand giving higher value, and stories, customer journeys, testimonials, probably all that's very important. Yeah, talk a little bit about stories because I think the one thing that really touches people seems to be talking about your story because like growing up with kids, we love having a bedtime story read to us by our parents and people just in the Bible, Jesus uses parables. It seems like when you share stories, it really touches me. It bypasses the filters that people like get defense. Like I don't know if I would be careful, but when you share stories, it really seems to reach their hearts. So you talk about the importance of stories and videos.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the biggest challenges that businesses have is they'll usually come to us and they'll say, "We need you to create a story about us." And I kind of have to correct them a little bit and say, "Well, we don't really want to create a story about you. We want to create a story about your customer's journey and how you help change the story that they're having in their mind." So the way that we structure the video is less about the business and where they're from and the things that they've done and their amazing accolades. It's more about what is the problem or the pain that their customer has on why they've sought out this product or service in the first place. What is the solution that they provide? And what does ultimately life look like once they've worked with that business? And really, what we're trying to do in the video is illustrate to the customer that's interested in the product or service of what life is going to look like and how their story that they're having in their mind is going to change once they buy that product or work with that company on their service that they offer.
I think that makes a lot of sense. You're not really focusing on your company. You're focusing on the client, their journey, their problem, the problems and the pain that they feel, and the solution that you can have, and how their life's going to be changed and transformed and be better after you guys solve that problem. Because they see, oh, these guys could take care of my problem. Hey, maybe I should reach out to them, because they got with it. And then because this is what things are gonna look like once they solve my problem. So I agree, because a lot of people, yeah, and I agree. That's a mistake. A lot of business, they talk too much about themselves instead of like, what can we do for you? And the client doesn't care about how great you are. They want to know is, I have this problem. Can you help me? If you can show me you can help me, I agree. It's definitely going to make a big difference. So you want to talk, give like a example too of like, some of the client success stories you've had from your videos.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of my first clients, the Austin Shoe Hospital, is a great story. I love telling it because they've had such success over a long duration of time. So we created an initial kind of promo video for them, and they saw a 65% increase in call volume from just posting that video on one citation site. Now, that had such success for them that they ended up doing 20 additional videos in that particular series, just kind of showcasing each one of the services that they provided. And it has completely catapulted their company. We actually done some video testimonials with the COO and the CEO, and they said, "We've been able to grow so fast because of the video content that they've created for us, most people will tell us, we saw your video, and the conversation will go from there. So it's been incredibly powerful, both from a quantitative standpoint, as far as what they've been able to do financially with growth, but also a qualitative standpoint from the comments that people have made about the video content that we've created. They've been able to partner with DSW because they've got recognition in the brand content that I've created from a video standpoint. And that we've also opened up a whole new part of their business, collaborating with dry cleaners across the country, where video was a huge part of their sales process in onboarding and selling the collaboration to that type of clientele.
No, that's definitely great results. The hospital got a 60% increase in call volume. They did I think 20 additional videos. And it just kept increasing. And also, people love the qualitative content. They partner with DSW and dry cleaners. So,
yeah,
it's the people are listening. Pay attention to that, because sometimes people don't want to pay for videos or for services because it's a lot of money. But don't look at what it costs. Mm-hmm. Look at what are the results. If you pay $1,000 or something, but you get $10,000 in business, you're getting $9,000 more. So yeah. These guys are getting results. So I know they're very happy with the investment they made with your services, because you got them so much business. And so you got to realize, you got to look at the entire picture. It's like, are the results there? So that's definitely a great thing there. Now for those that are getting started, because you've been doing this for 15 years, so someone wants to get started in a business, what are some of the things you recommend that they do when they get started, and the things that they should avoid doing, because the mistakes beginners do when they start a business?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that one of the biggest things is having clarity. Focus and goals are one of the most important things. I've kind of fallen trap to shiny object syndrome that I think a lot of entrepreneurs do, where you want to do three different things all at once, because you're thinking, if I'm doing a little bit on Amazon, I can do that. And then I have this other thing where I'm doing courses, and this other thing that I'm doing for a service business. And that's kind of where I was at several years ago, where I was kind of splintered. So having clarity in what you want to do, focusing on one thing, and then stacking things on as you grow your business can help generate additional revenue. So having clarity is number one, and staying focused and not getting shiny object syndrome. Another thing too, for people that are just starting off and thinking about being entrepreneurs, is have realistic expectations. I think a lot of people think that they see the end result of a successful business owner, and they don't realize the trials, tribulations, challenges, and things that they really needed to learn along the way to get to that path. So having realistic expectations and having just a thirst for knowledge, I think, is a huge component. There's a lot of things that I've learned, going from a side hustle to a solopreneur to now really a business owner that, has staff, payroll, and a team that I'm managing, is learning skill sets that I didn't even consider years ago, like understanding a P&L and payroll and, managing people and the challenges that can come along with that, hiring the right people, things that you really don't think about. Just have a thirst for knowledge and being able to be the person you need to be as that journey continues along the way.
Awesome. Some really good stuff then. And I totally agree. Have clarity, focus, and goals. Yeah. And like you, I fell prey to shiny object syndrome. I tried doing three, four things, five things. I tried four or five businesses at once, thinking I will have multiple streams of income. But because I was overwhelmed and suffered from analysis paralysis, I didn't know which one to focus at the time. Instead of having multiple streams of income, I had multiple streams of debt because I was investing in all of them and making money in none of them. So, right, mm-hmm. focus on one at the start. And then you get good at it, you start making the money. You can then stack, as you mentioned later on, but focus one at a time. There's a great book by Gary Kell called The One Thing I Recommend to People. Yeah. That's definitely you'll learn a lot from that. And have realistic expectations. I think sometimes people get started, they think, they see these people, they think it's an overnight success. For a lot of people, it took them a number of years. There was a lot of trials and tribulations, frustrations. They had to learn. But, even when they were struggling, they were growing. They just didn't realize. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're not getting results immediately, but if you're building that foundation, it may take 6 months, it may take 2, 3, 4, 5 years. But if you're patient, you don't give up. And you're doing the right things, and you're being guided. You have to mentor, which definitely helped. you will eventually get those results. But realize it could take some time. Very few people make $1 million in 1 or 2 weeks. It rarely happens. It usually takes some time. And for most people, it usually takes a number of years. So I agree. Have realistic expectations and be patient. And don't give up 3 feet from the goal like that guy in the book, Think and Grow Rich. Now, are there any other last minute pieces of advice that you like to leave with our audience?
You know, on that note that you just said, I guess I'll leave it on one thing that my friend Michael Gebin told me is people overestimate what they can accomplish in a year and they underestimate what they can do in 10 years. So on that note, as far as like being focused and staying the path, I think is a great formula to be successful, both personally and professionally.
I agree, stay on the path, and I totally agree. They overestimate what they can do in 1 year and underestimate what they can do in 10 years. That's a great way to end things. Mark, I want to thank you so much for being on the show. It's been a real pleasure. I shared a lot of great value, a lot of great tips, and I know the people listening to this interview definitely learned a lot because I know I learned a lot. And if people want to get in touch with you, what is the best way for them to contact you?
Yeah, absolutely. So they can just go to our website, mosaicmediafilms.com, and there's a book a call page on there, or they can reach out to me personally on LinkedIn. I'm Mark Wunderlin, on LinkedIn.
Awesome. Thanks again, Mark. Have yourself a great day.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, Victor.
Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. If you've enjoyed listening, please smash that subscribe button so you don't miss any of our amazing episodes. Please also leave a 5-star rating review and have an awesome day.